The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Jim Ellis, as creator of the Ellis Insight publication and senior political analyst for the Business Industry Political Action Committee. Jim analyzes electoral politics and reports on trends, characteristics, and tendencies in American elections. And he was one of the keynote speakers at the recent NFIB Leadership Trust. We're up in Carmel, California. Jim, thank you for taking a few minutes to visit.
Well, thank you so much, Larry. It's good to be here with you.
First thing I have to say is when you watch cable news, it's almost like they cover the day-to-day scrimmage, and you take a 10,000-foot level at what's ahead.
Yes, I try to, and I concentrate on the procedure and not so much the politics, but just what's involved in attempting to be, particularly as we hit 2020, to win the presidency. And it's going to be quite different than what they talk about on television, because you're talking about accumulating delegates throughout the entire country. The candidates have to run in 57 different entities, not just 50, because the territories like Guam and Samoa, American Samoa, can vote in this presidential nomination process as well. So it's much different than a normal election.
All right. So for our listeners, forget the day-to-day, and let's take the 10,000-foot level and look ahead to the election cycle in 2020. And especially for the Democrats. But the big story is how you get to the winner's line on this. And it involves possibly multiple votes at a convention if things don't really, right. If somebody doesn't really take a big standout in the next couple months.
Exactly. And we could see something we haven't seen since the early 50s, which is an open convention. The last time we had more than one vote at a convention was in 1952 with the Democrats, when Adlai Stevenson was nominated for the Democratic nomination versus Dwight Eisenhower. So that's the last time a convention has taken more than one vote. Now, as we look at this, the reason we may see that this time, for the first time in generations, is because you've got multiple candidates, and it takes as little as three, and we certainly have that are three viable candidates for the nomination in Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders. And then but the process has changed in the fact that the Democrats have changed their rules. And so, therefore, they've eliminated what they call their superdelegates, which is the party elite. They can't vote on the first ballot, but you still have to get 50% plus one. And back in 1972, in the McGovern reforms, they got rid of winner-take-all primaries. So I think it's going to be really difficult to see anybody get 50% at the first vote in the convention. And they need 1,990 delegate votes to do that, and I don't see anybody getting that. So that means we go to a second vote, and if no one gets a majority, then it's a third, and so on. And the difference is all the delegates are locked in on the first ballot by how the people voted in their particular states. But by state law and procedure, then, those delegates eventually become free and can vote however they want. And then it's going to become crazy and wild.
Now, you're describing something that I think played out, or was tried to be played out, in the episode of House of Cards, the Netflix episodes. You were going to try a strategy to win by doing this. But it could happen because of what factors? You talked about that at the leadership. You talked about how far to the left they're going and who they have to garner up. But the thing that really stood out to me is this concept of getting your delegates in place. And you shared how one candidate is really going out of his way to get delegates in place, so if there were that fourth, he could get elected.
Yes, and that's Bernie Sanders. And we saw what happened in the 2016 election. And he always maintained that what would happen and that the convention was, quote, rigged, unquote, because even though he would win among the elected delegates, that the superdelegates, the party elite, which are the elected members of the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic U.S. Senators, members of the House, governors, and their distinguished party leaders, which are the former presidents and vice presidents and congressional leaders and Democratic National Chairman, that they would then put Hillary over the top. Now, that didn't happen because Hillary Clinton did win among the elected delegates, but that was always his contention. And they pushed that even after the vote. And so last year, the Democratic National Committee changed the rules, and they said these superdelegates on the first ballot, and there's 766 of them, can no longer vote on that first ballot. They can if it goes more than one ballot. And so what we're seeing is, I think that's going to favor a candidate who helps and works to get his people elected to these Democratic National Committee slots and then the actual delegate slots themselves. And that is Sanders, who's out there working to do that, and he has the national organization to get that done. And I think if we do see a convention that goes more than one ballot, I'd keep my eyes on him.
And you also pointed out and reminded everybody that when you talk about Bernie Sanders, he's not actually a Democrat.
No. In fact, this is going to be interesting as well because the Democratic National Committee has a rule in place, and I think it's a reasonable one, that the Democratic nomination for president has to go to somebody who is a Democrat, and Bernie Sanders is not. He has...
And he's had chances to become one, and he has turned it down.
That's exactly right. So he has... They passed a rule and said, you have to be a Democrat, and they defined what that is, and... In the 29 states where people register by political party, you have to be registered as a Democrat. Well, his state of Vermont is not one of those. So if you're from a state that doesn't register by party and you're an elected official, you had to have served as a Democrat. He's not done that. He's always been elected and served as an independent. Well, so if he gets the nomination or if he has the most delegates, technically right now he can't win the nomination. Now, they'll have to change the rules again, but the fact that they have to do that, and he's making them do that, shows that there's definite friction there between the Democratic leadership and him. Now, he's had two chances since they passed that rule to become a Democrat. The first was when he ran for re-election to the Senate last year, that the Vermont Democratic Party offered him their ballot line to run as a Democrat and an independent. He said no. And then after that, here just a couple of months ago, he filed a new committee with the Federal Election Commission to run for the Senate back again in 2024 when his seat next comes to the ballot again, and he filed again as an independent. If he had just simply filed either time as a Democrat, he'd be in compliance with the rule, but he refuses to do that. So it's a definite friction between he and the party leadership.
Jim Ellis is with us from... Ellis Insight publication and senior political analyst for the Business Industry Political Action Committee. He analyzes electoral politics, and he's here at the NFIB Leadership Trust in Carmel, California. You spoke before some of the business people from across this country. Some of them raised their hands and asked about the current president and what's going on and wondering how that plays out. We talked about the question of all the polls that seem to suggest that no matter what's going on, the Democrat wins, and how a lot of people here don't feel that's the feeling in the country.
No, and we saw that last time as well. We saw that phenomenon with the polling. And they're not picking up a lot of people, particularly in those great lakes states that came out of the so-called woodwork. People that hadn't voted before, people that hadn't voted in a long time, that came out and actually voted for Trump, clearly, in the end, or he wouldn't have won. I mean, that had to happen or he wouldn't have won. And there's a thought that that may happen again. And so... You know, and you look at it, too, and at this point in time here, you know, over a year out from the election, usually the Democrat is ahead in polling almost every time, even though there's an incumbent president. So it's not particularly surprising to see Trump behind. And, in fact, actually, when you think about it, he's in better shape today than he was then, even including this impeachment. Because, remember, they talk about, well, his approval rating is only between 43% and 48%. Well, you know, that's not much worse than President Obama was. Obama always was hovering around 46 to 48, and if you look at where he was on Election Day itself, there were 38% approval rating for him on Election Day. Yet he still won the election, and so he's much stronger than that today.
All right, got to ask you one more theory, and this is the Hillary question.
Oh yeah.
And you talked a little bit about that today. We've seen her do a few interviews. She suddenly popped back up on TV. She's made all sorts of excuses for not winning that election. I think a lot of people, if you really stand back and look at it, she didn't go to the right states enough and didn't really have a focused message that was going to win. I mean, there's an electoral college. It's not by the popular vote. That's the rules. And she can cry all she wants, but that's how it works. And it was a legitimate election. She should have gone to Wisconsin a few more times. Michigan didn't do it, you know.
That's right. And now she's resurfaced. And, you know, I think it's the thought of this open convention that's making her do this. Because in an open convention, if no one gets 50% on the first ballot and we do go to multiple ballots, the convention could go to anybody.
You said that she could walk in.
Anybody could.
And say, I'm here to save...
Yes, to save the day, not only her. We could see that. Would they try to resurrect Michelle Obama? There's always talk about that. Remember Oprah Winfrey, everybody to that degree. All it would take is whoever could get a majority vote of those convention delegates once they become free. And that's all that's going to matter. So I think that's what she's thinking.
One of the warnings you did have for the businesses here is nobody's talking about it, but you have some concerns about the Senate. Keeping the Senate Republican. You shared that the Republicans are going to have to get out there and work.
Oh, no doubt, because now the Republicans have a 53-47 margin in the Senate. So that's not real big, and particularly as we look into the 2020 election, and now there's 35 Senate elections in this coming contests because you've got two specials in Arizona. You have actually a special election there to serve the balance of the late Senator John McCain's term. So the appointed Senator Martha McSally, now she has to run this year to serve the final 2 years of that term. In Georgia, Senator Johnny Isaacson has announced due to health reasons that he's going to leave at the end of the year, even though he has two more years to serve. And then we will have a special election there in Georgia as well this year. So 35 Senate elections. The Republicans already have 23 of those 35 seats. So they've got to go 23-0. To save what they've got and then try to pick up some of the Democrat seats. I think the most important seat out there is Alabama, the seat that was lost in the 2017 special election, where the Republicans bungled that away with Judge Roy Moore. Democrat Doug Jones has the seat. If the Republicans get that back, and they should, but they have to, then they move up to 54, and I think it's probably enough to sustain the majority if they do that.
We want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us. If people want to find out more about what you're doing, how can they reach you?
Well, Larry, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity here. And my website is ellisinsight, ELLISSINSIGHT.com. Thank you.
Great.